Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a chilly 32 degrees with light snow here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Tech Industry, Fake versus Real News Agenda, AI and the Truth Algorithm. And we took a good look at the history over the last few years where this big argument now is coming out because they are blaming alternative media and alternative viewpoints for winning the election for Trump. We have Obama standing behind this now on the world stage crying about how, you know, nothing is true and everything is true. And how do we know what is true? Trying to knock faith out from underneath the alternative media movement. And, you know, it really has been a big pushback. We have been watching mainstream spew out the garbage that this election has shown us. I had talked about the NDAA 2013, and, you know, I didn't post it here, but I'm going to look at this for 1 second because I talked about this quite a few times about how as of 2013, when they passed that NDAA, they also quote unquote legalized propaganda out of the State Department, no less, that we typically would use on foreign countries to be utilized on the American public. And I know for a fact that that is true because when I first read about it happening, I dug to the source and I found the document and I read it for myself. And that is what we should all be doing. Like I said yesterday, this crisis in what is true and not true, you know, we've talked about some other segments of research before in the past that also have issues with what is true and what is not true. And that is our scientific publications, right? We found out the FDA has been allowing the scientific research to be published without any type of redaction or removal after research has been found to be falsified or results to be questionable. And so, like we've said before, as they're pointing to these studies saying, hey, look, you conspiracy theorists who think that maybe vaccines might be dangerous or maybe GMOs might be dangerous, look, the research is here. It shows that everything is safe, wink, as they don't tell you that it was funded by the very industry that it was protecting. So let's take a look now at this landscape that has been laid out since 2013. So we are looking at 3 full years of out-and-out propaganda that has been spewed out of the mainstream media legally. So in 2013, they passed the NDAA, and there was something called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 that was involved. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 was introduced by U.S. Congressman Mac Thornberry on May 10th, 2012, in the House of Representatives. The bill's purpose was to, quote, authorize the domestic dissemination of information and material about the United States intended primarily for foreign audiences, unquote. Ding, ding. Meaning that this is the same information that they've been spreading across all these countries that we were, quote unquote, bringing democracy to, utilizing bombs and UAV drones. This is the same information, the same voice of America that they have been spewing internationally, now being turned and pointed at the American public. Now, something else that we have talked about before, we have seen this very similar turn where they have taken outside agencies that were specifically to be utilized outside of our country, and they have turned them toward us. And that would be with the NSA. We talked about the NSA yesterday and how this whole exposure of surveillance was really kind of the enzyme, the catalyst to bring the tech industry under the wings of the federal government. Well, the NSA has taken their external espionage group and their internal surveillance group and has merged them into one big yucky ball of wax called the NSA 21. And now the internal spies and the external spies are all working on making sure not only they are keeping us safe, but they are keeping us safe from terrorists under every bed and in every closet. Zika mosquitoes. Zika, by the way, I don't know if you saw, but Zika's all over. I think they even approved that $1 billion for the Zika command and control center. Wonder what happened to that money since it was never spent. But now we have them also being in charge of software vulnerabilities on both sides of the pond. A, in our case, to keep us safe from hackers and from rogue agents. But B, on the flip side, to be able to identify holes that can be used to exploit targets overseas, wink, that now, like I said, since they're merged, who knows where that technology is being utilized. So anyway, back to this month, Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. As a part of this NDAA, this act was added to the 2013 NDAA bill as a section of 1078 to amend certain passages of the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 and the Foreign Relations Authorization Act of 1987. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 passed Congress as part of the NDAA on December 28th, 2012. And I don't know if you guys remember that, but I do, because I was sitting here celebrating the holidays with a friend online. We were reminiscing, and this thing passed like right in the middle of festivities. And really, it happened with a whisper. Nobody even really noticed when it happened. So this is a covert information war, guys. And actually, you know, something, let me see if I can cue this up really quick. And of course, I hate to break my train of thought, but somewhere in here, I found a clippy. Oh, it's so tiny. I have my bifocals on, but I still can't read it. Well, I can't break my train of thought anymore. Let's get back to the Smith-Mundt, and I'll find it afterward. So it happened right during the holidays. It happened with a whimper. Barely nobody noticed. But anyway, let's read a little bit more, because I'm telling you, I dug into the State Department's rulings of propaganda and all the different agencies that were involved. Wait till you hear this. Amendments made to the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 and the Foreign Relations Authorization Act of 1987 allowed for materials produced by the State Department as well as the Broadcasting Board of Governors to be released within the U.S. borders. Ding! Propaganda on the U.S. people has commenced. Several news outlets reported that the 2013 NDAA overturned a 64-year ban on the domestic dissemination of propaganda produced for foreign audiences and effectively eliminating the distinction between foreign and domestic audiences. Ding, ding. I'm going to tell you what. They have been bleeding that division for a very long time. As soon as domestic terrorism became a buzzword in this country, they bled the external and the internal. They had the police departments becoming militarized and the American public becoming enemies. And as they are sowing the seeds of dissent now, this election has just been the rotten cherry on top that has shoved the shiv into bubbling. I mean, even since the 2008 election, when Barry got elected, that caused a lot of dissent. That caused all of the liberals to point at everyone else and call them racist. That was kind of like the pre-programmed mantra they had everyone spewing back in those times. And now it's them pointing at everybody else, calling them bigots and racists again. It's amazing how they do that. You know, they've really stirred up a lot of dissent. We had BLM, Black Lives Matter, police brutality, all happening in the meantime. And this complete encroachment on our liberties. And remember, I mean, 2001 really started a lot of this push towards the takeover of our individual liberties. But it has gotten to a point now with artificial intelligence being able to craft the narrative. You know, we've talked about how the internet kind of democratized a lot of things. It didn't only democratize the access to information, but it also democratized CRISPR gene editing. We read yesterday all this learning in the cloud, and now we have these companies that have put tons of time, effort, and money into building deep learning systems, and now they're turning it outward and giving it as open source to the global community to integrate into everything. Guys, we've talked about disruptive technologies before, and I've pointed out to you that typically throughout history, there have been one, maybe two, typically only one big disruptive technology at a time that turns the whole world on its head. Manufacturing was one, industrial revolution, the, I was going to say supply chain, but no, the assembly line was a huge one. Wars have also fueled growth. And then we had psychological operations after the war. If you go back to Century of the Self and Edward Bernays and see how they really have crafted our society in this country for us to become completely distracted consumers fueled by trying to keep up with the Joneses. That has fueled our consumeristic society, and it has bred a society that is ripe for takeover by things such as technology, and in the future, fully artificially intelligent, enchanted objects as part of the Internet of Everything. I mean, we've talked about that stuff as well. You know, convenience itself can be addictive. It all pushes that dopamine button. Technology, video games, drugs, sex, rock and roll, all push that button that draw us in and cause us to open our arms to accept what they want to spoon feed us. And propaganda is just another one of those tools. Guys, it is too hard to think, and it is too hard to do research. It takes time. It takes effort. And it takes somebody dedicated to really finding the truth, somebody who has already admitted that they had an addiction to the machine, that they had an addiction to being spoon-fed, and they want to break out of that mold and change their lives and discover something else. I see this whole thing connecting all in the very same way, pushing those very same buttons in our heads, and you have to be driven to want to make a change. And hey, if the change is that you've been blinded, and one day, remember, there's lots of little threads out there. All you got to do is find the right thread. Everybody's got a little red button. Push that little red button, and it could change your life. If it's something that interests you, there's something that's made you raise that eyebrow and go, huh? You know, when you're reading a news story and you're blah, 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 okay, you're getting spoon-fed news, even if it's from MSM. And there's something in there that makes you raise an eyebrow or makes you question your memory for one split second. Make a note of that. That is a research topic for future. That is a dangling thread that you need to pull on, especially if it interests you. All right, so let's move on now because I have a lot I want to get to today. So I have established that absolutely 100% yes, what I've said is true. The NDAA of 2013 authorized propaganda on the American people, something that was overturned from a 64-year ban that was only to be utilized against foreign actors. It is now we have become the enemy. Obama came out back in October talked about how his successor will govern a country being transformed by AI, and all of a sudden now anything is true and nothing is true. And because of these quote-unquote fake news sites on the internet, this alternative media that is trying to open your eyes, apparently Hillary Clinton lost the election, but Donald Trump won the election because you swayed the public so much with your fakery. Well, the way from Reaction Solution, since we are in bed with all the tech companies and all the ones in the know, we can do something about this. We found two or three different projects now where they're going to be utilizing artificial intelligence, verified, quote unquote, verified stories. If you've been verified against the knowledge base, you will be allowed to be included in the search engine. It will no longer be based upon your popularity on the internet. Google's truth algorithm, as well as some rogue employees at Facebook. We read about that. They're going to take care of the quote-unquote fake news problem on Facebook. And we have this other group of students that built a plugin for Google's Chrome that will allow you to put a filter on anything you search. And again, track it against this verification. Well, Google and Facebook, we found out, are now going to put the brakes on, and they are talking about restricting advertising on anything that has been established to be quote-unquote fake. They're going to have their own ways. They will be the gatekeepers of information and make decisions as to whether or not you are advertiser-friendly. Advertisers do not want to, and this is a quote out of this Reuters story, many advertisers do not want their brands to be touted alongside dubious content. Google must constantly hone its system to try to stay one step ahead of unscrupulous publishers, said a former employee. Google has not said whether or not it believes its search algorithm or its separate system for ranking results, and that is the fact check verified in their Google News service, also will need to be modified to cope with the fake news issue. Now, I can tell you already, I've seen it myself with Google AdSense and some of the titles I put on my show and some of the other shows. Anything that refers to the biopharma industry, anything that refers to vaccines, absolutely 100% will be refused. I will get a nice but firm email saying we have not approved this video because it is not advertiser friendly. Now, what are the chances? I mean, if you've been listening to my show long enough, and I believe I am over 400 episodes now on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/UCYTV and go under playlists, you'll see Before the First Cup, or go to the website UCY.TV/BTFC Before the First Cup. You will see them all down below in the bottom of the page. There's over 400 episodes, and the majority, I would say probably 80 to 90%, very early ones, I might not have been as researched as far as providing you links, just because it, I hope you guys realize that when I put those links in every single day, that takes me a good hour or two to listen to the show and then go back. And if I didn't have them handy, because I typically only have 10 or 12 up, but then I talk about lots of other things that I've read about in the past, I go back and I find those links for you to establish truth as to what I'm saying. But that takes me a few hours every day to get that done. And I hope you're utilizing that information that is there as a research tool. I have done the research for you. Just click on them and start reading and go down the rabbit hole. And, you know, I'm going to take 1 second here to give a shout out to D-Car. I have to tell you guys, I don't know anyone who knows me, who comes around and chat. I mean, you guys know that I'm always very busy and I'm juggling lots of balls all the time besides 30-some-odd shows on the network. And so my life is kind of, you know, anything that breaks has to be dealt with first. But I was feeling pretty icky. I'm not feeling too hot right now. I think I got a sinus infection. But I've been feeling kind of icky and down. Just, I don't know, the whole world is kind of upside down right now, and all this technology is kind of coming right at us, and our whole future isn't looking like it's going to get any better. This whole election isn't turning the train from any other direction but forward. And so I was feeling pretty down this morning and thinking about other things I'd like to be doing with my life, to be completely honest, and something that would give me much more joy than what I'm doing right now. And I came to the conclusion last night that it would be finding myself a really nice cave, decorating it like Land of the Lost with lots of big sheepskins and a nice big fire. And I think we determined in chat a little running stream through the cave and a brand new kitten. I think that would make me feel all better for a while. But anyway, one of the first things I do after my coffee is I go and I hit the feeds, anything from last night. I go check to make sure that the show went up last night. And I saw a couple comments. And I have to say thank you to D-Car, because that was a very nice comment. They had told me that they really appreciate the research that I put out there, and my dots have helped them connect a lot of other dots. So, you know, that's why I do it. And you kind of encouraged me to get up and do the show today. So thanks a lot for that. Anyway, all right. So Google and Facebook now, of course, are going to use not only this quote unquote fake news crisis to start rolling out some of this deep learning and artificial intelligence to start determining what is considered quote-unquote true and verified and what is not part of the propaganda narrative that is being fed out there legally. They're also going to take any income, because let me just tell you something, if anyone is doing alternative media because they think they're going to get rich and famous, it's not going to happen. People do this because they have a conscience. People do this because they have children. People do this because they care about the future, and the ship is going the wrong direction, plain and simple. If I've been doing this for the last 5 years because it was turning me a profit, well, guys, I hate to tell you, I would have been done 5 years ago. This is a labor of love for everybody, and nobody gets paid. There is no, pot at the end of the rainbow out there, and it is completely and utterly draining for every ounce of energy that you have, and you have to have a red button that makes you move forward and do this, because I can't keep it quiet. You know, my motivation is I have a kid and my family doesn't listen to me, and that's it. And I've been doing technology for 25 years as a profession. And I see where this is all headed. I see the game. I've been behind the scenes. I've seen all this stuff develop from the very beginning. And this is not a pretty picture. And someday I'm going to be gone, and I'm going to have a kid that's left here with nobody else. And that's why this is very important. So we now are challenging the reality of what we are being told versus what is actually happening. You know, that's been going on for a very long time. We had Hillary Clinton come out back. I had talked about this one yesterday. I had said it was 2010, but it actually was 2011. And it was right before that story I had read yesterday from Politico about Bill Clinton calling for an internet agency. Hillary Clinton had come out and said that we are losing the information war, and she was actually talking about different media outlets such as Al Jazeera, she mentioned, as well as RT. RT did a clip on it, and it was pretty interesting. I don't know. Skype is acting up this morning, though, so I'm a little afraid. I don't think I'm going to do this, because as I hit it, everything went blank on my live Skype here, so we're not going to play that clip today. But she comes out, and Madison Rupert, who used to run End the Lie, had told me personally that that was actually what motivated him to get started, was hearing Hillary Clinton testify before Congress that our State Department was losing the information war to these other alternative media outlets. And he took that as a battle cry to get out there and put some hurting on things. I got to tell you, Madison's site was awesome. back for the 3 or 4 years that he ran it. It got some great traffic. He was a great writer, and he could pound out sometimes 8 stories a night. The kid was amazing. He could type like 180 words a minute. It was just incredible. But, you know, we've done a lot of damage, and obviously we have, because now it is coming out at the highest levels. Like I said, Obama's out there crying, and now we got Google and Facebook and Microsoft, and everyone is going to be competing now. This rogue group, right? We are evil. We are the people with information that doesn't jive with the narrative, so we are now enemy as well. They're going to turn all of their tools. The Eye of Sauron, meow, is going to get us. And they're going to do it. What? Oh, they can't do it by hands because there's so many of us. But guess what? They can do it with AI. IBM, Intel, Google, and Microsoft prep the next generation hardware for AI. So it's not just all these deep learning systems that they are investing millions, if not billions of dollars into to be able to develop, but they're also building new next generation hardware that will complement all of the software and deep learning as well as cloud learning. What's pretty interesting is that back in the old days, you would have a processor. If anyone has built their own computer, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. You'd have a motherboard, depending on your motherboard. You would have a certain type of processor slot. You have to match the correct type of processor to the processor slot on your board. The processor slot would be determined by what features you wanted and what generation board and what chipset and how fast you wanted it to be. And of course, that was all then translated into cost. The faster and the more leading edge it was, the way more expensive you can get something that was a couple generations old that would be plenty for your application. But, you know, I don't think these days, to be honest, there has been quite a long span of time, I would say probably even over the last at least 5+ years, where technology stopped kind of moving forward. We did kind of hit that glass ceiling for how many transistors you could jam on a board, how fast you could actually make something go. And they've been doing little tweaks to do this and that. But there wasn't like in the old days where we used to have that limitation, that glass ceiling where you could only do this application if you had this fast of a machine. We don't really have that much anymore. We have the ability to buy on-demand computing. Amazon has a service as well as a bunch of other companies. We could do cloud learning and stuff like that. You could pay $29.95 as a service and get anything on demand these days. So it's really not a limitation anymore. But now with AI, and AI is going to tip the world on its head. And I'm telling you guys, we read a story yesterday about them now having AI that can learn things that humans didn't teach it. I found something even more disturbing about that. So we had this story yesterday where they could like show it pictures, and being able to see is a really big thing. That GPU graphics processing unit, or VPU visual processing unit, allowing computers to see has been a very, very, very big leap forward, right? They're trying to give them 5 senses. They're even trying to give them emotions. Maybe we'll get there. Probably not today. Maybe tomorrow. But as they've been giving computers the ability to think, to learn, to cloud learn, swarm learn, and now be able to draw conclusions, you know, they used to just compare things against a database, and now they're teaching them to actually repeat things and learn as they repeat. But they even went one step further. Check this out. Google's DeepMind AI now taps into dreams to learn even faster. Taps into dreams. Now, if you remember, Google's DeepMind was the one that won that game that's way more complex than chess, called Go, and it beat the world champion, the latest AI creation from researchers at Google's DeepMind lab. And don't forget, we have Kurzweil over there, is called Unreal, and that is an acronym, a particularly quick agent that could tackle more complex tasks than just games. DeepMind researchers presented their findings in a new paper describing, and this is what the acronym UNREAL stands for, unsupervised reinforcement and auxiliary learning, or more affectionately known as UNREAL, which in part borrows from the way animals dream to speed up its learning process. Testing the agent on Atari games. Now, how many of you grew up on Atari games? Because I know I did. The 1980s were glorious. As well as the 3D game called Labyrinth, they found that it was able to learn 10 times faster than any of its previous algorithms. It also averages 87% expert human performance on Labyrinth. Guys, 87%. And this is like in their first foray of teaching it to learn through dreaming like animals. And this is insane. As DeepMind's London-based researchers explain, this agent uses the same deep reinforcement learning methods that it's previously employed to master the game Go and several Atari 2600 games. However, what makes UNREAL special is that it has been augmented with additional tasks, one of which borrows from how animals dream, and the other that resembles how babies develop motor skills. Now, what's so frightening about this, guys, is that if you remember the Maryland, what is the name of the institute? They have the largest brain database from children in Maryland at one of the huge hospitals. Wait a minute. Brain database. Johns Hopkins, I believe. Johns Hopkins, maybe. Hold on. Johns Hopkins Hospital, I believe. Brain database. Yes. Hopkins researchers, and this was back in 2014, build a searchable database of children's brains. All right, guys, they've been looking at humans, the Brain Project in particular, the Brain Initiative, and that is a global initiative, not just something that Obama has gotten behind in the National Institute of Health, but also children and how we make decisions and how normal, what is considered normal. They have things such as Watson that is learning to scan. I don't know if they've turned Watson onto brain scans yet, but I absolutely know that they have turned Watson onto tumor scans, body scans, as well as databases. And he's it, remember it's an it, has been learning at an exponential pace. But take this one step further. This is now Google's rendition of AI, and they are teaching it to learn like children. You know, this has all been about mimicking nature. All of this mad science gone mad has been about mimicking nature, whether it be the Weiss Institute of Biologically Inspired Engineering to create robo bees and things of that nature, or if you're creating X and Y amino acids, proteins to go onto a DNA strand mimicking how the ATCG works, guys. If you're making a bipedal robot that can stand up, I believe that was back at MIT, maybe in the 90s even, when they were trying to build a stable robot that could walk on its own without being tipped over, they discovered that ostrich legs were some of the most stable, and they discovered that mimicking nature was the only way that they were going to be able to accomplish a very engineered aerodynamic design. I mean, evolution has done some wondrous things, but it's horrifying because now they have gotten to the point where they have been able to augment biology from every facet of the imagination, including the brain and learning. However, we'll read this again. What makes UNREAL so special is that it has been augmented, and that is a key word, with two additional tasks, one of which borrows from how animals dream, and another that resembles how babies develop motor skills. And just as animals dream about positively or negatively rewarding events more frequently, our agents, notice they're calling them agents, preferentially replay sequences that contain rewarding events. So those, just very Pavlovian, if you think about it, those rewarding events get repeated over and over again, hence leading to positive reinforcement for a behavior, right? That's exactly what it is doing. Researchers use this concept to teach the agent to focus on visual cues. So remember, they gave them another sense. They have allowed computers to see from its recent history of experiences, and they've also allowed computers to remember, which then signals shortcuts to greater rewards. I mean, it's just like the rat in the maze that finally finds the cheese. He does it enough times, he's going to remember how to find the cheese. We're little mousies in a maze as well. Don't forget that. The agent is trained to predict the onset of immediate rewards from a short historical context and to better deal with the scenario where rewards are rare. We present the agent with past rewarding and non-rewarding histories in equal proportion. By learning on rewarding histories much more frequently, the agent can then discover visual features predictive of reward much faster. So they see things that go, oh, ding, there's the golden key, run. So, I don't know. As researchers then pointed out, DeepMind's main goal is to break new ground in AI using programs that, quote, can learn to solve any complex problem without needing to be taught how. Ding, ding, ding. Without needing to be taught how. Meaning that the genie has now become evil. The genie has been released from the bottle. And we are going to have thinking and concluding software that is released and ubiquitous and touches every single one of us on a daily basis. Don't think that they are not going to put that into some of their online applications and all the back end and trying to root out that fake news. And like I said earlier, they have also, all the big boys, IBM, Intel, Google, Microsoft, are prepping for their next generation AI hardware. They are equipping a lot of their technologies with a coprocessor that will be programmable, so they can take like old school processing and start adding extensions that will allow them to connect directly at a hardware level interface at a very high bandwidth capacity to some of these new cloud apps and swarm thinking learning apps that are being built. Intel, like I said, is in the middle of all this. Intel works with big conglomerates such as NASA. And of course, Intel is the backbone to just about every PC out there, except for maybe some of the Android stuff. I don't even know who Android is using. They used to use Motorola. They might still be. Even Apple moved over to Intel back quite a few years ago to an x86 architecture from the former RISC-based. But then we add NVIDIA. NVIDIA is a silent dragon. I'm going to warn you right now. NVIDIA used to be known for video processing. You knew them. If you were a gamer back in the day, you knew who NVIDIA was. They sold those big fat cards that had all the big fat fans on them. They would sound like an aircraft taking off when you'd fire up your PC, because they put out so much heat. Well, NVIDIA, with adding the capability of vision to artificial intelligence, NVIDIA became very important to this whole march forward. they have focused on video processing for their entire existence. And so they very easily took front and center. I just saw something the other day. You know, I really thought a while back I should buy some stock in NVIDIA when they were pretty low. And I never did. Like, even when I first met my husband back in the early 2000s, he was an Apple head, a Mac head. And he used to tell me, oh, you should buy some stock, Jewel. It's like $2 a share in Apple. And I was like, Apple. And, you know, when you look back on it now, I mean, isn't Apple over a couple hundred dollars a share? Like, what an idiot. I could have taken it $2 a share. I could have dumped even just $100 in there. And, you know, you could have had some really good money. Anyway, so NVIDIA was another one of those tech companies that back in the day, like even back in the 90s, when they were probably like $5 a share, seven, something like that, if people had dumped a lot of money in there, you'd be pretty damn rich right now. NVIDIA is not just accelerating AI, but it is aiming to reshape computing. NVIDIA's CEO, Jen Hung Hwang, took the stage at the annual supercomputing conference this week to share his vision with an enthusiastic crowd. Supercomputing is another one of those disruptive technologies. Like I said, typically we only had one per generation. We have about 10 or 12 coming at us full frontal, full speed ahead, with billions of dollars of investment capital, venture capital being dumped into them. It is going to remake, reshape our entire world. That whole Agenda 21 thing that used to be like the boogeyman bedtime story is actually going to come true. They're pushing all that in the name of climate change. That, of course, is another big drawstring on the bag to take over as one large international conglomerate, which is what it's all about, people. You know, I didn't believe any of this stuff in the very beginning when I first got involved in this. Fukushima is what woke me up, and I don't know, I'm sure everyone has seen by now, there was a very large earthquake yesterday off the coast of Fukushima and a tsunami warning. I went to bed pretty early yesterday and woke up this morning and saw that there's all kinds of stuff going on now. Kevin Blanch had something in regards to fuel pools, and I don't know, I'll have to look after the show, but it doesn't look good. Any type of big-ass earthquake over there isn't a good idea, isn't a good good for the future. That's to be certain. We are going on almost 11 to 17, 6 years here, March 11th. So this isn't good at all. But anyway, I don't remember what my point of that was. Disruptive technologies. Hey, you know what, though? Here's one thing that I predict in the future. That DARPA lady talking about terraforming Mars, and we're going to practice on Earth first. And we're going to practice on places on Earth that have not been able to be touched or cleaned up by humans with synthetic biology. I'm going to predict at some point in the future that they are going to splice and dice in a petri dish some sort of bacteria, probably out of the Department of Energy, because remember, that's one of the big ugly progenitors of synthetic biology way, way, way back. I'm going to predict that they're going to develop a bacteria of some kind that can eat radiation. They'll send it up to Washington, Hanford. They'll send it down to New Mexico, maybe to Tonawanda, Buffalo, and over to Fukushima. Let it go munch up all that radiation. And then what happens next? Who knows? Any sci-fi movie, any Japanese Godzilla movie that you've ever seen, very possibly who could come true. Radioactive, mutant, gigantic bacteria. I mean, guys, the insanity of the thing right now is that technology has taken us to that cusp of reality blending with stuff that you never thought possible. And the fact of the matter is, those of us who are over a certain age, they are already looking at us as dinosaurs. We are a threat to the system because we saw the world before technology. We saw the world how it was and how it was supposed to be naturally, not augmented. And they are looking to augment every piece of nature, including us. And it's coming. The machine, the blending of machine and biology is coming. So anyway, this guy, this is Jen Hung Hwang, of NVIDIA took the stage at the annual supercomputing conference to share his vision with an enthusiastic crowd. This is all about being able to integrate vision to artificial intelligence. The tireless cheerleader of deep learning and data center acceleration foresees a brave new world of computing. Yeah, good choice of words there. Enabled by artificial intelligence and, of course, accelerated by the company's graphic processing unit. Armed with new partnerships, products, and initiatives, Huang boldly proclaims that the new model of accelerated computing, combined with the power of deep learning, would usher in an era of exascale computing far sooner, ding, than ever thought previously possible. Now, guys, we've talked about the law of exponential returns many, many times. I told you it was coming. I told you that every day it's going to get faster. And instead of being a linear curve, it is now going straight up. Here we go, because it's game on. And it isn't every generation that we are having a disruptive technology. It is now every, I don't know, this is sounding like every 6 months or so these days. And they have predicted that just in a short 10 years, things will be 100, if not 1,000 times more powerful than they are today. Kurzweil's little vision of self-curing nanobots in your blood isn't too far in the far distant future. They're already testing out little drug depositing nanobots as cures for cancer and CRISPR gene editing T cells to be able to combat cancer as well. They're all going to do it in the name of curing you, of course. So this is all about keeping us safe, living forever, fixing the planet, and usurping biology. Well, if Huang is right, the potential impact on the world around us from what? Oh, new medicines. Yes, like little nanobots in your blood. And products, yeah, to, like, I don't know, full-blown, fully immersive, 1 terabyte per second VR. To products and to manufacturing will be profound. And I don't know, actually, we might get to some of this manufacturing. We have GE starting their new intelligent connected factories that I was reading about. That was pretty insane. But I don't know. We'll see. So do we really care about what NVIDIA is doing? Well, it's exascale supercomputing. And that is the next big goal of the supercomputing industry. It is traditionally expressed as a computer capable of executing billions and billions, a billion, sorry, calculations every second, or that is a 10 to the 18 floating point operations per second. But Huang believes that instead of calculating a result with a mathematical expression of the laws of physics as computers do today, deep learning could be used to short-circuit the math for a large class of problems, effectively modeling the answer instead of calculating it. And for some problems, this is a viable approach. But don't worry about it, because for some others, it is completely useless. Now, speaking of GE and Fukushima, of course, that's a BWR GE reactor that was the big one that melted down in Fukushima. GE's Jeffrey Immalt, CEO at one point, was dubbed as Obama's job czar here in the United States. Shortly thereafter, he moved his whole healthcare division out of the United States. If I am not mistaken, GE is also the company that kind of was the, what do you want to call it, the push forward for this transition from incandescent light bulbs to the fluorescent compact light bulbs that, of course, have a complete ecological disaster waiting to happen, where incandescent were just a little wire that didn't really do much of anything. But, hey, they were inefficient. So let's, all in the name of climate change, create toxic light bulbs that we're going to profit from and push them out to the industry. I mean, GE is not a clean company at all. Well, GE steps right up to get into the game. GE is very involved with the Department of Energy as well because of their nuclear. General Electric said on Tuesday, and this is, I don't know where this date is, but this was a recent story that just came out a few days back, that it has acquired two tech startups to build its artificial intelligence capability. Guys, this is General Electric building artificial intelligence, a move that will help it compete with IBM's Watson product. Guys, we've talked about CRISPR gene editing and disruptive technologies being declared as a weapon of mass destruction as the stuff becomes democratized across the planet and different countries. We have China and Beidou. We've talked about Beidou before. Beidou was their chief engineer, is a former Google artificial intelligence employee. Beidou is betting its entire future on AI, and I don't think we're going to get there today either, but I'll include all these links in the notes of the show. We have a war going on right now, a secret war behind the scenes. We had NSA, when it was under Keith Alexander, create every division you could possibly imagine of cyber patrol under the heading of military silos. They all have hacking teams. Of course, this is all about keeping us safe and being able to infiltrate. And I mentioned that NSA 21 that then happened after Keith Alexander handed the baton to that scary dude, I can never remember his name, that took over the NSA. You know, they have blended internal and external cyber patrol. They had declared that a hack attack is a declaration of war. Artificial intelligence and the battle to get the smartest, most intelligent, fastest thinking system, most like human consciousness. And we discussed that as well as part of the Brain Project. It was Monday or Friday. The scientists have now think that they have located the actual center for consciousness in our brain. Don't think that that isn't going to be applied to AI in the future. That is what the Brain Project is all about. It is not about curing your PTSD or your addiction to something or your psychological disorder that happens on a spectrum and is defined by the DSM. Oh, no, no, no. This is about reproducing the human brain to turn it into something that is more intelligent than us, to be able to run the world without any type of intervention. That is what it is about. But guys, right now it's all being done in the name of money and in the name of commercialism to be better than the Joneses. And it has created a consumeristic business war between these weapons of mass destruction. We have GE, like I said, who makes nuclear reactors and light bulbs and your mammogram machine, now investing in artificial intelligence to help it compete with IBM's Watson. IBM's Watson that's working at 20 cancer hospitals. IBM Watson that's already a lawyer. IBM Watson that is, oh, I don't know, what did we just see Watson was doing? Making smart underwear. And IBM's Ginny saying that IBM's Watson will be involved in our decisions and everyday life within the next 5 years. Yes, that IBM Watson, GE, wants to be able to compete. GE said that the acquisition of Bitstu Systems and Weiss IO will expand its Predix platform for industrial internet applications, which will connect big machines such as power plants and aircraft engines to databases and analytical software. The terms of the deal were not disclosed. Guys, they are going to connect that industrial internet that I mentioned to you. One of my dear old friends worked for another large company that did industrial automation back in the, I don't even know, maybe even the 70s, but definitely the 80s and the 90s, where they were computerizing the factory floor way back then. And it was pretty advanced. They could run reports, they could run machines and program in rudimentary algorithms. But it has gotten beyond that now. We are looking at some of this Internet of Everything that is coming with 5G and millimeter wave that will be able to connect industrial processes to learning in the cloud, to all these machines that then become enabled and smart, quote unquote smart, with AI. Six innovation priorities of GE. What are yours? Well, here's their priorities. Number one, extreme machines. Number two, super materials. Number three, the industrial internet. That will be robots taking all the jobs. Number four, mapped minds. Number five, brilliant factories. And number six, energy everywhere. I mean, how insane is this? GE that works with the Department of Defense, that works with the Department of Energy, and they now are being handed a baton. Big data plays a prominent role in the idea GE calls brilliant factories. This is what bringing manufacturing back to the United States is going to mean for us. A battery factory GE is building in the U.S. will have sensors constantly gathering data on every single step in the process. They say that we can track the raw materials, what the humidity conditions are like when a product was manufactured, as well as the temperatures, and then we can track these batteries throughout their entire life cycle, and all that data will be analyzed to learn and eventually build better batteries. So there you go, guys. Smart manufacturing. We're gonna have machines in a factory that can think and learn. And they are now using their MRI machine to build detailed roadmaps of the human brain to be able to help them do that. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Lonnie Clark is live up next. Lots of live radio on Tuesday. And I will catch up with you tomorrow.